again. Learning to lead, learning to lead. I'm learning to lead on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lead on Jesus. Let's keep singing it again.
Saved and praise God. You have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful words of this song we've been singing tonight, learning to lean on Jesus. Lord, where could we go but to the Lord, finding a refuge for our soul? Lord, we thank you that you're that refuge for our soul tonight. We thank you, Lord, when all around my soul gives way, then thou art my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lord, we're glad tonight we're on the sure foundation, the firm foundation, the solid foundation. And we thank you, Lord, we can lean on you tonight. And you're our help. You're our present help in the time of trouble. When we call upon your name, you will show us great and mighty things that we don't even understand or know about. And we praise you for it tonight. Yes. Heavenly Father, bless the hands that's raised to meet every need. Yes. You know every individual prayer, every individual situation. Yes. Father, we're calling Jesus on the scene tonight. Yes. There is a man here that can turn on the light. Yes. And you're that man that can turn on the light. For you are the light of the world. Yes. And Lord, we're calling on you tonight, Lord Jesus. Come into every situation with your glorious light, with your glorious power, with your glorious presence, and meet every need, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, touch every brother, every sister, every boy, every girl, everyone, we pray that you'll touch tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for Eileen tonight again, Lord Jesus, that thou will reach down and touch her, Lord, and have mercy upon her this evening, we pray. We know, Lord, what's impossible, man, is possible with you, Lord Jesus. And we're asking for your mercy and grace tonight. Father, for the backsliders tonight, restore them, renew them, speak to them. Lord, if you could bring the animals into the ark, you can bring your own people into the house of God. And I pray you'll speak to them, speak in to their innermost beings and draw them, I pray. And woo them, I pray, and save the lost, Lord, in our homes, in our families. Oh God, move on them, we pray tonight, in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless your word till our hearts meet every need this evening, Lord Jesus, and Pray for Carl and David as they prepare to go. And go, Lord, that you'll be with them, that you'll watch over them, that you'll go before them and prepare the way for them, O God, and bless them, O God. And pray especially for David tonight. Lord, make him a blessing. Bless him. Meet his every need. O God, prosper him and be with him, I pray. Lord, in New Zealand and Carl as well, in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, just have your way in our midst, we pray. We're thinking of all those tonight, Lord, that's maybe not here, that you'll be with them, Lord, that you'll speak to them, that you'll move upon them. Lord, that you will revive us in the midst of the years. And oh God, tonight, as we open your word, that you'll give us hope and give us courage. And Lord, you've already given us the charge this morning. You've charged us to go forward. You've charged us, Lord, to remember your people and help us to do it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Bless each one here this evening. Have your way amongst us and bless your word to their hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one. Shake hands tonight, River, beside you, and say the Lord bless you. Praise God. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. God is good, like Samuel Yaldi from Burkina Faso used to say every time. Amen. Praise God. Let's read this before we take our seats. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-8. And I've shared this before, but I've been praying and waiting on the Lord and praying and waiting again, praying and waiting again. And this just keeps coming. So I'm going to have to share it. And I wanted another message, and I prayed God would give me another message, but no, this keeps coming. And that's 2 days now, so God wants us to know it again, if it keeps coming. So let's read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1-8. For we know of our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would, but unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that have wrought in us for the selfsame thing is God, who also have given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we're almost confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And we know that God will bless his own word. You may be seated this evening. And I just want to talk about this body and the body change tonight. And I want to read you from a message called Things That Are To Be. This old earthly tabernacle here, you know what it is. This body is like an old coat that you wear, a coat that you once wore, but now you have one so much better. You don't use it anymore. What do? You hang it in the closet, but you've got one better. You've got a better coat. It's more up to date than the one you used to wear. That's worn out. What is it? That garment. You're on the inside of that there. The garment's only done what it's for your image, see, but you don't need it anymore. You've hung it up. It's a rag. And that's the way the old body is. It's bore the image of the heavenly. The earthly will bear the image of the heavenly. You are on the inside of the body, your spirit of God is on the inside of the body. That's what makes the outside come into subjection, because the inside is pulling it, see, bringing it in line with the word of God. And your inside, you yourself, your being, this body is just an old coat. And someday, what will you do with it? Was only a garment for a while, that is the earthly garment. Your real body, your real self is on the inside of this old coat. And someday it will be hung up in the hall, a memorial somewhere, and you'll put it out yonder in the grave or somewhere. I will put a tombstone over it. and the name and all that. And that's so true tonight. We pay so much attention to these bodies, these physical bodies, but they're dead. And I tell you, I'm a great believer in exercise and doing whatever we can. But if the rapture doesn't take place in our lifetime, and if the Lord doesn't come and change us in our lifetime while we're here and living, and our body goes to the grave, it'll only be like throwing off an old coat. But the real you is in heaven. There is a soul that is precious to God, and every soul is precious to the Lord. And I tell you, first of all, I want us to consider some of these things that Paul said tonight, and I want to try and stick with the subject at hand. Paul says here, of our earthly house, of this tabernacle, old coat were dissolved. He did not fear that he himself would be dissolved. Paul knew that his physical body could be dissolved. Paul knew that this flesh is weak, it's very weak. But Paul knew if it was dissolved, he had no fear. Because even if it were dissolved, he would be absent from the body and he'd be present with the Lord. He didn't fear himself, did he? No, he hadn't the slightest bit worried about it. The changing of the coat, which he looked forward to, that's known amongst us by the name of death. And death. And I tell you, death will affect every one of us. If we're not raptured, if we're not caught up and taken out of here, death will affect us. Now, it'll affect us different than the unsaved. It'll affect us in that we'll have a transportation. Because when we die and our bodies go to the grave, our soul goes to be with the Lord. But the unsaved soul goes to hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it's torture and it's torment. But that's what's so important, that we're saved. We're not just saved for a short time, but we're saved for all time and for all eternity. We're saved. Paul called it the dissolving of the earthly house, or this tabernacle, the ticking down of the tent house body, changing of the old coat. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight when I preach this. We know when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, and the dead in Christ rise, and they're going to come out of them graves, and God's going to have some sort of a supernatural body for them, but they're going to come out, and me and you are going to be changed. We will never see death. If it's in our lifetime, we won't even die physically. But if we die physically before the Lord comes in the rapture, we're just putting off the old coat. We're escaping. We're getting out of this pest house. This is a pest house we're living in. There used to be a fellow, and he sang a song, "Your body's only a suitcase for your soul." And I worked with a man, and he wasn't saved, but his wife got saved, and his wife was dying. And her minister never come the road of her. And I used to go to her house, Jean, you called her, and I used to pray with her and read with her the scriptures. And of lovely times in the house, and he would go out into the garden, he didn't want to hear it. And I would pray with Jean and read with Jean. And Jean had a real rare disease. And the Lord never healed her. And Jean went, but Jean was saved. Jean's body went to the grave, but Jean was saved. And that fella, I don't know if he was saved or not. There was always a question mark on him. And I want to tell you tonight, it's never good to go with a question mark on you. You need to be sure. And you need to know. But he used to play that song, "Your body's only a suitcase for the soul." And he left details in his writings when he went that I was to do the funeral. And I preached. I preached at his funeral that the body is only a suitcase for the soul. And the Lord helped me. And I tell you, God spoke to people at that man's funeral, even though he had a question mark on him. And we have something that's going to be dissolved if the Lord doesn't change us. We have a body tonight that's going to be dissolved. The most beautiful woman that ever was in the world, when you put her in the grave after a few days and hours, and the worms go through her and every death takes her, you wouldn't look at her twice. And then we're weak tonight. The flesh is weak tonight. But there's a something stronger than our weak flesh, which is eternal. Paul doesn't say, if I were to be destroyed, or if I were to be annihilated, he knows no thing such as that. He feels assured that he himself is perfectly safe. And even though your body is a pest house, and we believe that, and even though it goes to the grave, yet withal, when the grave's open, God will resurrect them bodies and change them. And I don't know exactly how all that God's going to do it, but God's going to do it. And them bodies are going to be raised, and we're going to be changed as living to meet the Lord, and we're going to live and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. The very thing that man could never do, he never could reach the 1,000 years. The oldest man that ever lived never reached 1,000 years. But yet God's going to have a group of people that's going to live and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. And I tell you, the old devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Paul also had no fear of this sudden end. He absolutely was content. It was clear in his text. You can read different versions, but we're reading from the King James, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I tell you, we have a house tonight that's not made with hands, and it's eternal in the heavens. God has something prepared for us far greater than we could even know. And you say, oh, I know all about it. Well, I beg to differ with you. For my Bible is absolutely clear that eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God's prepared for him. We've had glimpses. Glimpses. But that's all we have had. But when we see him, we're going to know him. Am I going to be like him? And isn't it wonderful what it's going to be like? Look at this. Look what it says here. We, as all unharmed, unmoved, our house were dissolved. We should not be undone. If we were to lose this earthly tent coat, we have a building of God, eternal in the heavens. The new coat, the real man. The building of God. The essential self was out of harm's way. And all that he talks about is falling to pieces of a certain tabernacle or tent, the old coat in which, for the present, he's living in. And you remember Paul preached this under inspiration. And Paul not only preached this under inspiration, but Paul was a tent maker and a tent mender. And many's an old tent Paul mended, and many's an old tent Paul fixed. And while we're here, we might need these old tents mended and fixed sometimes. Isn't that the absolute truth? But I tell you, we're going to have a body when we go to heaven that will never need mended. It'll never need fixed. You'll never be gray hair. You'll never grow old ever again, because you'll be in eternity. Something far greater ahead for the believer. Many people are in a great worry or fright about the future. Yet here's the Apostle Paul viewing the worst thing that could happen to him with such complacency that he likens it to nothing worse than pulling down of a tent in which he only was dwelling in for a little season. And what's our life tonight? If you come with me and we were to go into this Old Testament tonight, a 70 or 75 year old person in the Old Testament, only a youngster. Because when you go back into this Old Testament, the 300 and the 400 and the 500 and the 600 years of age, people's living shorty. You'll hear scientists on telling you they're living longer now. What a load of rubbish. If you go back in this Bible, they live far longer. than people's living now. That's absolute nonsense what they're telling you. People's living longer. The oldest man that ever lived was near 1,000 years of age, 900 and something. Enoch walked with God over 300 years of age. Moses at 120 as I wasn't dead. I tell you, someone, they lived a long time. But even though, no matter how long you live, if God would let one of us see 100, what is it before God? 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord. But God's got something better for us. The old coat is done away. A new one's waiting. He was afraid of nothing beyond. And if that happened, he had expectations which reconciled him to the event and even helped him to anticipate it with joy. Paul anticipated it with joy. Paul actually says, I want to go. I'm desiring to go. But it's needful that I stay for your sakes. That's what Paul said. Paul wanted to go. Wonder this evening how many of us really want to go. We talk about the Lord coming, but if we had a choice tonight, how many would really want to go? Paul wanted to go, but Paul also had a duty and a job to do for God. And Paul said, I'm desiring to go. I want to go, but it's needful that I stay for a time for your sakes. And I tell you tonight, I'm sure you'd agree with me as I share this with you. All of us could say, we'd love to go, but then when we think of our loved ones that's not saved, we would say, Lord, but will you need to save them? Isn't that the truth? We want to see them saved before we go. And I tell you, Paul wanted to see men saved. Paul was not absolutely sure that he was absolutely sure. He hoped that he might be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, and then he would be changed forever. Be with the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. This is where we take the catching up from these scriptures. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others with no hope. So our loved ones as believers that went on, we're not to be sorrowing over them. As somebody with no hope, they're actually in a better place than we are right now. That's the truth, you know. They're in a better place. For if we which believe in Jesus died and rose again, and even so then also would sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now I'll tell you, did you see that wee bit in here? It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will never be ever separated again from the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful tonight? So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50 to 52 says this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And I tell you, we're living in a body of corruption tonight. There's no other way you can spell it out. This is a body of death. We're living in its death. It's not getting younger and fitter, it's getting older. It's dead, it's gone back, it's not gone forward. But here the Bible tells us we will be changed. That this body of corruption will be changed into that which is incorruptible. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. Now we have saw a glimpse of it in our Bibles. And we saw it with Abraham and Sarah when God changed Sarah back. And Sarah was an old woman. She couldn't have children. It ceased to be with her. But God changed her back. It's a type for the coming of the Lord and the promised son. And Isaac was a promised son that came. And I tell you, when the promised son comes, we're going to be changed back to young men and women. Changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Changed. At the last trump. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And I tell you, someone, when they come out of them graves, they're not coming out of the graves. Whether they're in a wheelchair or on a stick, they'll not be coming out like that. They'll be coming out absolutely perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. And I tell you, there'll be no more death. No more death for them. Because of the Lord Jesus. Still, Paul was willing to leave this in the Lord's hand. When he saw it to be possible that he should be numbered among the blessed dead who die in the Lord, he never shrank from it, but he had hope. Hope. The apostle perceived that the body in which he lived was frail in itself. Paul was actually a tent maker, and the use of tents was common enough among the Roman people in Paul's day. The gentry delighted in bright pavilions, which they would set up at their pleasure. And the common folk found pleasure in spending apart from their time under the canvas. You know, it's still true today. There's something about a tent, isn't there, in the natural? Circuses, gathering a tent and all the different stuff in the tent. There's lots, there's still tents. And whilst Paul was sitting writing this letter, God was talking to them. Paul was writing under inspiration. Paul was making a tent. Paul was mending a tent. And that suggests in him the language of the verse. In verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5, now we know that our house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I tell you, that's like the tabernacle in the wilderness as well. The tabernacle in the wilderness which Moses made. He made it according to the commandments of God. Everything in it speaks of Christ. But then there's one verse in Hebrews, don't forget. They were just a figure of the true. They were a figure of the true. They were a picture to let you see the true. But the true is even superior to them. It's the same we know in part. But then we'll know as we're known face to face, we'll be with the Lord. And there's a heavenly tabernacle, which is not made with hands, eternal in the heavens it talks about. And we have a tabernacle that God makes for our bodies. Here's another thought. The second, the provision of which the Apostle Paul most surely knew. Paul knew that he would not have to open his eyes in a naked condition and cry, woe is me. Woe is me. No, he knew that he had a new tent, a coat waiting for him. The Bible talks that we've been found naked when the Lord comes. When a tent is newly placed, it is a frail structure. Listen to this. Very frail compared to the structure of a house. Very much like our feeble frame that we live in, which can be crushed to dust in a moment. Paul felt and knew that his body would not need any great force to overthrow it. It was like an old tent or an old coat. Our bodily strength is nothing really. No man can predict how long he or she will last. They're frail like the tent that will live. This old tent's frail. You know, I tell you, almost every day, and you might think it's just because you're getting older. Tommy, you're getting older, but I think of it my age and I think to myself, there's no way I can be that age. I feel 30 years of age. I'm not even joking about it. I think I'm 30, but I'm not 30. The calendar tells me I'm near double 30, but I think I'm still 30. And there's lots of things I do. I can do as 30, but there's some things when I attempt to do what I could have done at 30, I just can't do it because I'm not really 30, but I think I'm 30. And I can't think the age that I actually am. But I tell you, the Lord's going to change this body. And we're going to be young again. And then love by 30 or 40, but no such thing as an age thing. Do you know why? Because you'll be like the first Adam that God made. Oh, hallelujah. You know, old Willie Mullen stumped the great doctors of divinity in Queens with that one. When he asked them with their archaeology and all their smartness, what age was Adam when God made him? They couldn't answer him. He wasn't born a wee baby. He was made a full man. And he was no age. No age, but yet he was a full man. And I tell you, we're going to be full men and women, but no age. When God changes us, we be like Adam before the fall. Sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. With no age. The only difference is there'll be no sin coming in. We will remain like that. No age. Young men and young women. 1 Peter 1, 24 to 25. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word of the Lord by which the gospel is preached unto you. And I tell you, the flower comes and it withers and it's gone. And that lets you see how frail mankind is. People you knew and they're no longer here. And that's what's so important tonight, to be saved. Paul knew that he had a Father in heaven, for he felt the spirit of sonship. He knew the spirit of sonship. He could cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we're sons and daughters of God tonight. And God's Spirit's in us, even this body, even this old tent. The Spirit of God's in it. And I tell you one thing, you know when the anointing comes on you, there's things you can do, and then when it wears off you, and later on you're sitting at home and you're half sleeping. It's not the truth. But when the power of God comes on you, it's like John often says, and it's in Samuel, turned into a different man. That's exactly what it is. When God's Spirit comes on you, you can be turned into a different man. William Branham used to talk about the Isle Boy. When the Spirit came on him, he used to jump two steps and he's at the back of the hall. He glided through the air and his coat flailing behind him. He skipped like that down the hall. And he was an Isle fella. And William Branham was only a young man at the time, and he says, Lord, if your Spirit could do that on an Isle man like that, what could it do for a young fella like me? God's Spirit can move us. Even no matter what age we are, God's Spirit can move us. And I tell you, God's Spirit moved Samson. And he went up and took them pillars off them gates and all, and up he went. Hallelujah, the Spirit of God moved him. God's Spirit moved him after they blinded him. And they done all sorts of badness on him, and they mocked the God of Israel. Samson got a lad to lead him to the pillars, and he bowed himself, but he says, Lord, one more time. Once more, Lord. And I tell you, they were worshipping all the false gods, but God heard Samson's prayer, because his hair grew. His hair grew again. The seven Nazarite locks of hair on his head grew. And God heard him. And all of a sudden their temple came down on them. And all their false gods fell with them. And greater was the victory in Samson's death than in all his whole life. God gave him a greater victory. I tell you, God can do it again. Galatians 5, 4, verse 5 and 7 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because your sons, God have sent forth, our brother John mentioned this morning, when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. God sent forth the Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's how you called on the Lord. God's Spirit moved you to do it. You never done it of your own self. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir with God through Christ. Heirs with God. Isn't that wonderful tonight through Christ? Paul knew if he put off the old coat tent which he lived in, he was sure he would be welcomed into his father's house above. How do our children know? You know, isn't it so true? I've wrote this, I don't know what it is, I don't even need to look at it. It's so true. Your children could be away for weeks and they come home and they think nothing of it. They're home again, where they were born, where they started, it's still home. 30 or 40 years of age, it won't matter what age they are, they will come back home to where they were born and where they were brought up. It is home for them. Home for them. There's a comfort in the home, isn't there? There's a blessing in the home. And we have a spiritual home as well. And there's a strength in it, and there's a comfort in it. And we have a Father, and we can cry, "Abba, Father." And he hears us and he answers us. Just as a chicken runs under her mother hen without needing to be trained, she does it. The wee chicken knows to do it. There's an instinct in the chicken. And it runs in under the mother. And the wee egglets does it. And it's in nature. And I tell you, there's something in man. There's a spirit. When you're saved, there's a Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit will bring you to God. For the sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Just like the salmon. And you know, I remember Brother Gary preached a real good message about the salmon and how there's a time comes where they're changed. They're changed. There's a change comes on them. And there's something in them and it draws them back to the birthplace. Back to where they came forth. It draws them and it brings them. And they will go against nature. They'll go against the flood, the falls. They will actually jump up waterfalls. I saw it in Canada. I saw the salmon in Canada jumping up the waterfalls as high as that ceiling right up there. They went right up it. And I was amazed how they could do it. And I tell you, God can bring a man from a drunkard to a drug addict. And when the Spirit of God gets in that man or woman, they will go against the stream. They will come out of a pub. They will come out of a drug den. They'll come out of a jail because there's something in them that's greater that can draw them and bring them back to the Father. And I tell you, our God's able tonight. You remember God will do it. Because Jesus says, "I thank you, Father, that I have lost none that thou hast given me." Every single one that's going to come will come. They're going to come. They're going to come. Nothing can stop it. Because God in his great foreknowledge knows the end from the beginning, and they're going to come. Now, brother and sister, tonight you need to believe. I need to believe that our children's part of it. That our loved one's part of it. We need to believe they're going to come. And we need to look past where they are tonight. And look to something greater that can draw them like a magnet, like the big digger when she's a magnet on her, and he just shoots you like that, and the steel just sucks up to the magnet. It's so powerful, it's so strong. Even this week past, we went round with a wee machine in the ground, and the manholes were all buried. Now there's no way you can know where they are. If you don't have a map, you could have a map, you'd know, but if you don't have a map. But we hit a mean machine, and when she hit over the top of them, she started to make a noise. She started to bleep. And we dug down, and we come on the manhole lid. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit starts to move, hallelujah, there'll be noise. Glory to God. And he's never wrong. Oh, praise God. The Spirit of God can search out the secret things of the heart. Isn't that right? Paul knew he put off the old coat tank which he'd lived. He was sure he would welcome into the Father's house above. And I tell you, it happened. John 14, verse 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Eileen quoted me this very scripture last week when we went to see her in the hospital. This very verse. She quoted me in my Father's house. That where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How could we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're like Paul the Apostle. On this matter, we're not just hopeful, but we're certain. But bear with me a moment this evening. This is why real Christianity is different from Buddhism, Hinduism, Catholicism, and all isms. Real Christianity is not hoping for eternal life and fumbling into it. But we are absolutely convinced, totally convinced, and we have a total assurance tonight that we have eternal life right now. Him that hath the Son hath life. And because we have Jesus Christ, and we've asked him into our hearts, we have believed that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. We have confessed it with our mouth. We have believed it in our hearts. And we're saved. And we know we're saved. And we're sure we're saved. We're not hoping. We're convinced. And we know we have eternal life. And we know we're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to go over to somebody and say, it's now between you and God. There's nothing more I can do. What a letdown. We're going to show them the word of God. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved for all time, for all eternity. And once saved, always saved. When you've got Jesus, you've got the power of life. For he is eternal life itself. Him that hath the Son is life. Him that hath not the Son hath not life. We're not homeless wanderers. We're not. We have a Father, and thank God we have a home. Paul knew that we should all know. He had a bigger brother. And he knew that this bigger brother had gone on before to prepare a place, a lodging. For those who would yet follow, remember Christ, our big brother, is the first fruits of the harvest. And there's other fruits to follow. 2 Timothy 2:6-11 says, the husbandman laboureth much to be first particular fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Boys, I tell you, that's doing something for me. Just reading it. Eternal glory. It's not gloom and gloom, but eternal glory. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when you look at that old earthly tabernacle and you see the high priest and the glory and the beauty and the garments, and it's nothing compared to the real glory of the Lord. And yet it's still beautiful. How much more is heaven beautiful? The streets paved in gold. The pearly white cities. Hallelujah. Jetco said he wasn't long saved. And he's looking in the jewelry window at the gold. And he started praising God. And the fella says to him, my goodness, you're excited. He says, what are you looking at? He says, that's what I'm thinking, he says, not what I'm looking. He says, you see that gold? He says, that's nothing to my Father's house. The pillars are solid gold. Solid gold. And he started quoting all the jewelry that was in heaven. The pearly whites and all the different, the gold and the jewelry. And your boy thought, and he kept on walking. He thought Cole was mad. But Cole wasn't mad, he was glad. And we're not mad tonight, we're glad. I'm the lad the devil thought he had, but I'm glad. It's a faithful saying and worthy. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Here's another thought, and I'm going to have to close in a moment. The value of the knowledge to know one is ready. The value of the knowledge to know that one is ready. To be sure that when his body dies, all is well. Surely this is a must to know. That when one dies, all is well. When you can gauge fears, you can remove them. And Paul had no fear of death, no terror. Paul the apostle knew he was indeed sent into the world to glorify God. A man that held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, but he had an experience. He met with the Lord on the Damascus Road. Jesus Christ came to him as a bright light. And Paul fell down, blinded, because of the brightness of the light. And God led Paul into a street called Straight. God led Paul to the man that was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he laid his hands on Paul, and Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and his eyes were opened. And I tell you, Paul was a mighty man of God. He's the messenger to the first church age. The angelic messenger to the first church age, that's Paul. He's a messenger of God. He's one of them seven stars. That's in the book of Revelation. It's in the hand of Jesus. And I tell you, these is what Paul preached. And we're turned back to what Paul preached. That's what we believe. And we're reminded this morning that we're not to change, but we're to continue in what we know. And we know these things, what Paul preached, is true. And we believe it. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I tell you, I could go on and say so much more tonight, but I'm going to close this evening because we're going to go, me and Sharon, after to go and visit Eiling this evening. Up in Uri, and I don't want to hold on too long. Let's stand our feet tonight. You glad you're saved? I tell you, you know, you can be strong and fit. And then something can happen. Now William keeps me going. He talks about me milking it. You know, hunting happens. He says, "Oh, you're going to milk it again." Look at myself. But I'll tell you, I went to lift something there a few weeks ago, and I've done something on a finger in this hand. And I didn't have the same power in the hand after. Now, I know God's going to heal it. Then the next 30 nights later, I've done the same in this hand. On the exact same finger in the opposite hand. And I went to do things and I couldn't do it. I had no strength. The one finger damaged. One finger damaged. Listen to this. One finger damaged. Out of them four. Affected my strength in that hand. That's like the body of Christ. One member affected can affect the whole body. That's why we need to pray one for another. Amen? But it can affect, and you can be strong. And I could have gripped anything or done anything, but I had to lift bags and I was struggling. Weak, light 20 kilo bags because my hands were sore. Them fingers were sore. And then I didn't know where to, what to do, because if someone was ripped, I didn't want to make it worse. But I'm praying God will heal it. I know the Lord will heal me. But I'm just telling you, he can be big and strong and all them things, but in a moment, you could be down. Somebody else could be looking after you. The Bible says, when you're young, you walk where you would, but when you're old, another leads you. And I know a wee woman tonight. She's related through marriage to myself. And that wee woman's been looked after full time. She doesn't know where she is no more. She doesn't know anything. Just a couple of years ago, she's sitting at the table reading the Bible and everything. Now she doesn't know where she is. She wants to do things. She doesn't know what she's doing. Other people have to look after her. That's why the Bible's words are true. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because when you're older, you don't know what can happen. But Thank God we have a hope tonight. More than a hope, we have a real belief. We're going to a better place. We're getting out of here. Let's close our eyes tonight. I'm going to pray. And if you want prayer, lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. And will you pray for me as well? Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight. Lord, that you're coming. You're coming for your people. Lord, it won't matter, even as a brother mentioned this morning, won't matter what's going on in this world. You're coming as a thief in the night. And when you decide for this to take place, when the Father decides, it's going to happen. Nothing will stop it. Lord, I pray you'll help us, everyone, to be ready. Ready for the coming of the Lord. Ready for the catching away. And oh Lord, I believe we're ready tonight, but we have loved ones, Lord, that's not ready. But Lord, we'd ask you that you'd speak to them, that you'd move on them, that you'd strive with them, that the Holy Ghost would work on them. Lord, we plead your blood over them tonight. We bind the enemy over their lives. We pray for the salvation of our household. And those that's near and dear to us, we pray for their salvation. Lord, we see tonight many departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. But may we do as we heard this morning, to keep in the thing we know in the right way. Lord, you're that way, your gospel. Help us, I pray. Father, will you bless the hands that's raised tonight? Will you meet every single need? Give us your strength and grace to meet needs this week. Guide us, lead us, prosper us. Lord Jesus, let the sunshine of heaven come upon us. Let the Son of Righteousness arise over us with healing in his wings. And oh God, I pray, may we hear the going and the top of the mulberry trees, and the sound of the abundance of rain. May the Holy Ghost come and visit your people. In a special way, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, I ask it. Amen, amen. God bless you, as a brother Gary comes. God bless you.
Let's sing the chorus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Thank you. heads down as we just close. Ask Brother Yule if he'd close this evening for us.
Lord, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, for what we've heard. Thank you, Lord, your word says that the anthems of thy word give a blink.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray that you'll help us to keep walking in the light of your word, Lord.
Yes.
You said in thy word, Lord, that the path of the just is a shining
light. Amen.
Shineth more and more
unto
that perfect day. And we pray you'll help us to keep pressing on that heavenly way.
Yes,
Lord, like the Apostle Paul said, he was persuaded that you were able to keep him until that day, Lord. We pray that you'll help each one, Lord, to be encouraged tonight from your word. For Lord, you said that your word is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And help us, Lord, to be a witness for those that we meet every day. Pray that you'll just help us, Lord, to let our light shine for you, Lord. In a dark place, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the cross tonight. We thank you for the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that your word says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We thank you for that blood tonight, Lord. We thank you for your grace in each one of our lives. We just pray, Lord, you'll quicken thy word to our hearts, Lord. Let it not go over the top of our heads, but Lord, let us meditate upon it day and night, Lord. And you said, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in him. Remember the sick, Lord, those that need thy touch in their body. We pray, you'll touch them, raise them up, Lord. It's nothing's too hard for you, Lord. We just ask that the grace of the divine touch will be upon them. Pour us now, Lord, with your blessing. Makes it rich and adds no sorrow. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord bless us. You can sing the chorus as we leave. I owed a debt I could not pay, or he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay.